Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all things. Lord, we rely on you for all things. Lord, I pray you be with us now. Instruct us, teach us, move me aside, and let your Holy Spirit work your word into our hearts and lives today. Lord, we pray for those that are ill, those that are at home. Lord, we pray for Amanda with this pneumonia. Lord, all those that are suffering from illness and things along that nature. Lord, be with us here today. Help us to have good recall. Fix the sore joints and pain backs. And Lord, all the things that are within this building today. Lord, I pray you just help us out. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In the 1800s, a woman by the name of Rebecca gave birth to twins. Now we know those twins, don't we? The Lord said that within her womb were two nations. She would then go on to give birth to Esau and Jacob, and would you believe, the two warred all throughout their lives, on and off. Oh, there were great moments of peace and reconciliation, but their generations would go on and battle. As a matter of fact, whenever a child was born out of wedlock or something, that would happen. You'd often see them, I don't want to say every time, but you'd often see them shoot off and become another group of people. That would be a major sore spot for the Israelites. Wherever they erred, you would see them fly off. Anywhere from the lineage of Cain over to these people shooting off from Abraham's seed became a pain. Those two are still fighting through the generations today. And many would say that is the longest battle between two groups you ever see in history. And I say, no. Now, there's a fight that's been going on much longer. I want you to go ahead and take that. Take your Bibles, go to Genesis 3:1. We're keeping them close so as not to get lost today. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And we understand this conversation. For brevity of time, we will fast forward a little bit forward to verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. There is a war that has been going on for longer than any other. Has not been a battle between man and the devil. That's not really a battle. But has gone between two different worldviews. Those that believe that God is the finite source of all truth, and those that believe that man can be God. And that is what the devil introduced to us not very long after our creation. Hey, do you want to be like God? Do you want to know stuff you're not supposed to know? I tell you what, I want you to think a little bit. How enticing is knowledge that people tell you, you're not supposed to know. Have you ever heard an advertisement or a commercial that starts off with, they don't want me to tell you this. My boss doesn't want me to let you in on this information, but if you only. We have been enticed like a child with candy with knowledge that others can't attain to or don't want us to have since the garden. We've been falling for it. Suckers we are. Over a little bit of knowledge, we're told we're not supposed to have. And never mind the fact that what it is that we're going to be given is a dupe, it's a fake, but it's bad for us. It's not accurate. Hey, they don't want us to tell you this, but our miracle blend of oils will take away this illness that you have. and it ain't nothing but Vicks VapoRub and a little bit of this or that. It's no good. My boss, she got very excited. She went out and she got this diffuser thing. And it's not like your essential oil type deal. It was a proprietary blend of magical ingredients that you put inside it. Again, not something you could find in nature. Big old list of chemicals. Put that into the diffuser. Breathe it on in. And I said, well, what's in it? And she again, just all these different chemicals, not things, like not even words I would recognize being from anywhere. Like somebody sits there and says, what's that smell? Oh, we got eucalyptus and mint. Okay, I know eucalyptus, I know mint. I got you on this. This was weird. And she said, Matt, every day I want you to put a couple drops in there of this stuff and just let it blow around the room. Now, of course, she would then go into her office and close the door. So I started putting other things in there. I put some Coke Zero in there one day. I put some other things around, put that in there. We actually had somebody that was selling essential oils. I'd put essential oils in there. She'd pick up on that because it smelled like actual things, you know, that she could pick out and say, this is what it is. My favorite was when I started putting coffee in it. Just doop, doop. She came, what are you doing? Well, I ran out of your stuff and instead of telling you, I just put some more in there. Oh, she got so upset about that. She goes, Matt, you don't understand what these people know. These doctors, they don't know what these people know. What? We said, let me learn about these guys. Dropped out of college. Found a blend of different vitamins and minerals. Throwing it together and putting it out there. And of course, you look further back and you find that they've got a long list of scams to their names. But they've got knowledge they don't want you to know about. We fall into these things all the time. Can't, my boss doesn't want me to tell you this, but the price is about to go up on Monday. You got to make your decision today. We get enticed by these things. The battle that we face is, do we think that we are God, or do we believe that Jehovah is God alone? In 1930, I believe it was 1933, you can look it up and correct me later, it's not important. Somebody wrote a book called The Humanist Manifesto. They went ahead and they revitalized it in the 1970s. They began teaching it and distributing it to young people, teaching them again, hey, what you need is a philosophy outside of God. What you need is a philosophy that hinges upon what you want. And if you take this and you believe it, you will be a better person. You will be a more charitable and loving person if you just believe this. And basically what they've done is they've confused three different things that we'll look at later. They've confused being a humanism, and being a humanitarian. They've confused them, bundled them all up into one big ball and say, ha-ha! Now why? Because otherwise, young people won't buy into it. And there were thoughts, and there were fears, and there were concerns about the people that promoted it at the time. You guys know the Dewey Decimal System, right? One of the men that purported this, Dewey, he came across, he said, hey, listen, I don't like the way the school thing goes. Relies too heavily on the local people, relies too heavily on the parents, relies too heavily on the teacher. We need an organized standard. And what people pointed to him and said, hey, listen, if you do what you're planning on doing, we'll be focused more on memorization. We'll take the authority away from the teachers, take authority away from the parents, and we will create a misguided generation that does not understand respect, authority, nor what they're learning. And everybody scoffed, you poor, silly simpletons. Don't you know? We've got the degree in education. We've got the degree in humanism. We know what we're talking about. Well, let's fast forward to 2023 and you tell me how it's going. You tell me. You stop any public school teacher, any quote-unquote Christian school teacher. Stop them and ask them, are the kids generally respectful? Are the kids generally well-behaved? No. Now, of course, I'm not picking on kids. Kids are kids. But if you don't teach them boundaries, you don't teach them how to learn, not just regurgitate these facts, but you don't teach them how to learn, you're not teaching them at all. I think I've said this before. I was really good at taking tests when I was just a kid. My favorite part about taking those tests is I could cram large amounts of knowledge into my head half hour before the class, show up to the class, throw it all back out, but don't you dare bring that test back up 2 weeks from now. Because I've already thrown all that stuff out so I can memorize this week's test and that week's test. And you know what I used to do? I would take all the tests that I would get back. And during finals time, I would look at all those tests. I would memorize all that stuff. My head would be this big going in, and it would be much smaller than it is now coming out. It is ineffective. It is confused. We are going to look tonight at the difference of the point of views of God. Those that believe in God, and those that believe they can be God, we're looking at the differences of them. The humanist elevates man to be responsible, to have the responsibilities and the privileges of God. The Christian knows that man can't handle those things, and God has it well in hand. That is the difference. Those that believe in God believe God to be sovereign. Isaiah 55 verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. There's a reason why God does not give us the steering wheel to humanity. Because back when we only had one rule, we broke it. He had to put a guard against the garden so that we would not go in and take from other trees. Get them out of here before they take that tree and they live forever. Get them out of here. That is the equivalent of a child being trusted with one thing, having failed in that one thing, and the parent takes all the other kind of things out of it. I'll give you a good example of it. When I was a kid, my dad gave me a penknife. And one of the very first things I did out in the woods was clean the knife with my fingers, blade first. Not a very shining moment in my life, but I was young. Don't judge me. I was very young. So guess what? They took my knife away. What's wrong with them? And then it took a good long while before they let me use a knife on my own again, period. I could cut up this. You know what, Matt? Why don't you just let's cut that up for you for a little while. I had to earn that trust back. We got to the position with God where we touched the one thing we weren't supposed to. He took the garden. He took the other tree. He took a lot of things away from us because we showed we could not be trusted. Now again, I'm not saying that to put down all of mankind or to put us into a box. There are shining examples everywhere you look of the good things of humanity. But as we see, those people are still sinners. Every statue and thing that we put up to honor man, what do we find out very far after? That they weren't the great people we thought they were. Remember back when they were yanking statues down? Well, this person did this and this person did that. Well, hey, I tell you what, with what we know about Martin Luther King Jr., you should probably change the names of a few schools. If they knew he was embezzling from the church, they knew that he was fooling around on his wife, if they knew how often he was fooling around on his wife, they would probably go to yank his name off of a few things. I can't think of a single human being we ought to memorialize in that kind of light. Right? Everybody you find, everybody who does anything of value, you will find in the background a large amount of sin. Why? Because we are sinners. They're tearing the statues down. Go ahead, tear the rest of them down. We've got no business making graven images of men so we can look over and say, what a wonderful person they were. Because for as much as their good was, their bad was far worse. God is sovereign. He exists outside of us. He exists to himself. He, unlike us, has no creator. He, unlike us, needs no direction, education, teaching, leading, nourishment. He needs none of the things that we need. God does not exist because we declare him to have existed. We exist because God spoke us into so. He reached down into the dirt and formed us and shaped us and breathed into us. We did not create our God. God created us. You look at almost every other religion, you could pretty much graph where it starts, even if we forgot where it started, even if we forgot some of the names of the gods. What was it? Jeremiah 11. They were talking about how there was almost a new God in every city and among the people. You got a plurality of them. You know when you smelted it? You know when you chipped it out of stone? You know when you carved it out of wood? They knew when it started. They know who wrote down the rules of serving this God. What it is we've got to do. What the party looks like. They knew. There is no creation date for our God. Even those who have tainted and messed with church doctrine cannot sit there and point to anything other than the day they picked up a pen and started writing. Well, I got this new revelation. When did you get this new revelation? Last night. You sure it wasn't the pizza? You've been hitting it pretty hard lately. You've been running pretty hard. Are you sure you haven't just, fatigued yourself and had a wild dream? I had a new revelation. When? Last night. You tell me when God first established himself among people. There's no record in human history. He had no beginning. He created us. And every other artifice, we know when they were made. He does not need our opinion. He does not need our input. He does not need our clarification. Book of Job, the Lord says this, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, where were you when I created everything?" We weren't but a dream in his mind. We have no holding over God. We cannot act upon God. We can only obey. So many of you sit there, you think of that guy over there in the big hat in the chair. He'll sit there and speak on behalf of God. You can't do that. He is sovereign. He speaks for himself. And what you've got in your lap is all he's got to say for us right now. This is it. There is no new revelation. There is no new change. There's no clarification. Our thoughts, again, not his thoughts. Our ways, not his ways. They are far between. To sit there and say that my mind could comprehend and speak to the level of God is the same to say that a chipmunk or a squirrel out there speaks on the same as mine. Doesn't happen. They think and they talk so much of different animals. Oh, look how clever this bear is. Look how clever this chimpanzee is. Oh, how the intelligence of a dolphin. So I'm not entirely sure we're talking about the same thing here. Well, they've got very clever forms of communication. How do you know that's what they're doing? I mean, but how do you know it's complex? How do you know that it's not anything other than programming that God put into their mind? Well, that's a big thing to say. You scientists would call it instinct. How does a fish know to swim up to where he needs to go to spawn? How does a bird know to fly south for the winter? You got to think about that. The first bird that failed to do that didn't get to have any babies. And then we've got this weird thing among evolutionists that seem to believe that if one generation knew something, hey, listen. Yeah, like a giraffe, our necks are too long. We got to grow special capillaries and shut off valves in our neck to stop the blood from rushing to our head. They seem to think that the babies that would be born, I'm assuming after that first giraffe died, would naturally know in gestation, hey, mom and dad are getting wrecked by the size of the trees or by bending their neck down. We got to grow something different. Does anybody here remember in the womb going, all right, this is what mom and dad are struggling with. This is what I slowly need to evolve into. I don't think we could document that medically. As a matter of fact, they might give you a CAT scan for just suggesting it. Go ahead, go to your doctor. Hey, doc, listen, I have this distinct and powerful memory as a child. My mom was always too short to reach the top level of the grocery store. And I remember in my mind going, I need to be just a little bit taller. And sure enough, doc, I came out 2 whole inches taller than my mom. And I think that's just a wonderful thing. Call Charles Darwin. Let's get this written down in the next in the next book. Well, all right, Matt, why don't you come back with us? We got a special floor we would like you to visit. It's a little cold up there. Put on this jacket. It's exactly what would happen. I'd be medicated so fast, it would be a joke. God does not exist because we say he does. He is and is on his own. He created all things. And we see it in all things. Just the way that it works, the way that it behaves, screams that there is an intelligent design. We believe that our God is sovereign. But yeah, I'm going to change that. We know that our God is sovereign. We know that our God is unique. There's not many religions out there that teach that the sinner is responsible for their sin. I want you to think about that. At the altar of humanism, you're not responsible. You're sick. You have a problem. It is not the fact that you keep buying the booze or buying whatever it is you're putting into your body, food included. It is not that it's your fault. You have a disease. Well, I tell you what, I've never had a disease that made me get up and perform gluttony or perform alcoholism or do any of those things. I've never just woken up cussing people out. I've never woken up in the middle of a fight. Never had any of those things happen. I've never woken up in the middle of Detroit and found myself purchasing drugs going, oh, the illness caught me again. Never once. These are choices we make. And God holds us responsible for them. In almost any other religion out there, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Even in modern day Christianity, it is not your fault. You're a sinner. But don't worry, God doesn't want you to change anymore. Right? We've taken off the responsibility of good biblical preaching. We have put on skinny jeans and rock star hairdos and sat there and said, we've got a new God now, a new revelation of a God that no longer cares about your sin. He cared so much about our sin, he died for it. That's the real God. They've got no other, very few others will sit there and hold the sinner responsible for their sin. Our God is unique. And I'll tell you this, the way our God says things, the way things that God teaches us, they just make sense. I was watching this thing on I knew I was going to mess this up. The Mormon Church. No, Scientology, there it is. That was the one Tom Cruise is involved in. You know what they believe? They believe that there is an evil alien. They came in bringing in billions of other little spirits. And those spirits, they live on our skin. And they move things about. But you've got to get to the point in the Scientology church where you spend X amount of hours and $200,000 to where you could learn about the secret secret alien thing. Now just digest that for a second. I want you to imagine there's a person next to you right now that believes a demon alien thing flew from one galaxy to another. He is invisible. He has surrounded us with billions of his weird alien kind that just live on us. That don't make no sense, does it? And if it did, wouldn't I want to tell you that there were a ton of extraterrestrial bedbugs all over you? Why would I charge you $200,000 just to learn it? I'd be a little bit more proactive about the extermination effort, wouldn't you? Don't make no sense. All right, now listen, when the Pope goes and he sits down and he sits in the special chair and he speaks ex cathedra and he puts on a special hat, all of a sudden he's plugged into God. And even if what he says disagrees with the word, he's right. That don't make no sense to me. My Bible says God don't change. My Bible said God doesn't change his mind. My Bible says that God is right in all that he does. So he's either right or he's not right. You can't sit there and put on a special hat, sit in a special chair. You know, I grew up with special chairs. I understand about special chairs. That's where grandpa sits. I got that part. And I've gone chair shopping. I've never found one that immediately linked me into another large creature. I did never. You sit in this chair and all of a sudden you can communicate to the president. That must be when I'm napping. It's a joke. It makes no sense. And some of the rules and some of the laws that they have make no sense. But when my God tells me not to lie, it makes sense. When my God tells me I need to have clear, clean communication, that makes sense. When he talks about forgiveness and love and compassion, that makes sense. When he talks about the things that defile the body, that makes sense. Because I look over and I see it. My God is true. Not just because we've said he is true, but because the longer you live, the more you realize he's right. He's right. I can't think of too many gods when put to that kind of a test. Or that many versions of who God is when put to the test holds. You know, I think of Buddha. Buddha sold his family into slavery so he could afford his lifestyle. You think of Joseph Smith, there's the Mormons, wrote a law that he could go ahead and he could marry as many women as he wanted because he was already sleeping with all the women in the neighborhood. My God not only condemned my sin, but he took on the form of flesh and paid for my sin. I go over to where Muhammad is buried, if we could find it. I don't know if there's an actual grave. I wouldn't trust it if there was. Go over there. There he is. We could go over to Buddha's large-sized casket. There it is. We can go to any person, L. Ron Hubbard, go to anywhere we want. And guess what you'll find? Bones. Did you know you could take the tour through what they think is Jesus' tomb? Even if it was Jesus' tomb. You know, you could take a tour through there and there it is. Empty. Now, personally, I'm not entirely, I wouldn't necessarily trust what people over there say is the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. But believe you me this, he ain't in wherever one that it was in. You know, I got to thinking at first for a while, maybe Joseph's wife put Joseph in there and maybe she joined him. Maybe she was afraid too much of what happened last time and decided to bury him somewhere else. I don't know. But I know Jesus ain't in it. I like this one. I liked History Channel did this big expose where they're going to raid the tomb of Christ. And they raided this tomb and there was all these remains in there. And they said, now look, we found Jesus. We found Mary Magdalene. They got married. They had children. These are all the people. Listen, I want you to do me a favor and I want you to think real hard. If that's who Jesus was and he died at 33, life of a carpenter, 3+ years of ministry, do you really think he had the cash on him to buy a vault that would fit the entire family reunion? But yet the History Channel, for all their money and all their wisdom, went ahead and they made that and they put that out there. Our God died for us. It is a very unique thing. We believe him to be our creator. Not just one God of many. You go to the Native Americans and they've got a God for this and a God for that. The Mongols, a God for this, a God for that. You go to any nomadic tribe, any people that have ever been on the spinning ball who did not agree with Jehovah God. They've got gods for this and that. There's Zeus over here and this God creates this. And over in Egypt, we've got Ra. He's the sun god. And then we got a water god, a frog god, a god of the crops, a god of the calves. They got gods for everything. Our God created all things. Again, I'm not sitting there trying to sell you on one better than the other. I'm just telling you that you can see the solid difference between man's way of thinking and God's ways of thinking. Well, we need a special God for the frogs. over there in Egypt. Why do we need a frog god? Well, you see, you have a festival over here to the sun god, and we get a day off of work, and we get intoxicated. And then this week is the frog god's festival. And you following me? And we can go and do the very fleshly, lustful things that they do at these festivals. And hey, aren't we all having a good time? But then you've got a God who says, no, that's sin, that's debauchery. And the things that he tells us to do is good for us. And we build better lives off of it. Again, do you see the difference between man's gods and our God? There's a vast difference. A creative mind creates a fish god in multiple forms. But our God, who needed no creation, comes in a way that makes perfect sense to anybody who doesn't love their sin more. If we hold God up for who he is and what he is, and we look at Scripture at who he is, it is very clear that man could not have made him. Man would not have made him. We would have done it literally any other way under the sun. From chopping down trees and sculpting them into groves to worshiping the very ground itself. Those are the things we choose. When I serve my God for who he is, when I honor him and I trust him, I have a set of morals and values and processes that never have to change. I know what sin is. I know how to avoid it. I know how to go to God. I know how to worship. I know how a church ought to be, how a family ought to be. I know everything I need to know. And guess what? It hasn't changed. You get it every now and then. Well, one of the biggest hurts in a family is when you got a lot of masculine energy in the family. It can be very bad for the children. Are you out of your mind? Wasn't that the battle 5, 6, 7 years ago or something like that? Where a mom, where she's a single mother, is a better model than to have a dad in the house. Remember that? That is not what the prison system tells us. That's not what it shows us. That's not what raw data that we can collect tells us. That we can sit there and have one parent in the home and that'd be okay. Listen, God can do anything with anything. He can. But do not ever sit there and think that something alternative. How about two mommies? How about two daddies? How about two people with a very questionable gender, right? Well, what do we do? Wouldn't that be better? No, because God told me this way. And I've seen it work. When people work it. When people sit there half-heartedly apply biblical principles to their lives, picking and choosing what they will or will not obey, that's not going to work so well. It's not going to work so well. That'd be like you getting onto an airplane, finding me in the cockpit. Brother, when did you learn pilot school? Well, I play a lot of video games with airplanes in it, and I figure I'll just make up the rest. That's how we're living our lives if we're picking and choosing on Scripture. I got some knowledge, so that clearly means I'm good. Hop on board. Buckle up. We'll get the Coca-Cola and the peanuts out soon. No one would relax under those circumstances. And yet we're living our lives like the Bible is some kind of buffet to those that abide, abide in Christ, abide in the knowledge of the Word. They do well. Which makes sense. Because they're not doing what comes natural to man. They're doing what God says. Then you've got the elevation of man. You got the other side, the humanist point of view. Where they don't believe in the truth like we talked about this morning. They believe in a series of theories that they call truth. Right? I mentioned earlier that they confuse three things. They confuse being human, being a humanist, and being a humanitarian. See, under the humanist platform, they get to decide what being a human is. Does that sound confusing? Let me put it to something a little bit more modern. It's not a human, it's a clump of cells. It's not a human, it's a clump of cells. And that's not a man, that's a this. That's not a woman, that's a that. And then we sit there and we talk about the values of different human beings. When you look into the scripture, it doesn't talk about us having different values based on our ability to produce things. That is a very Marxist, that is a very humanist way of looking at a human being. You look into the Bible, it's obedient or disobedient, right? That's what you got. You're either in line with the scriptures or you're not. You look over at mankind, well, this guy, he's got more money. This person, they believe in transgenderism, so they are a good person. You are less than a person because you disagree. You are a dog. We're not going to hire you. We're not going to let you use our stuff. We don't want to be anywhere near you. And as a matter of fact, if we want to throw a rock at you over there preaching the gospel while we're over here putting on a lewd display that would put anybody else in jail, we're fine with that. Because that child is subhuman and you are subhuman. They confuse what being a human is. They confuse what being a human is, and they don't know when humanity starts. That is the problem when you put God's responsibilities on the common frail man. That is the nonsense. They don't know what being a human is anymore. When you can sit there and look at a child, Glenda brought over back for me this little pin I've got on the lapel of one of my coat collars, and I've got to move it because this is starting to cover it. But little tiny feet, 10 weeks. That's the exact size of a 10-week-old baby's feet. You could count the toes. Count the toes. That's not a human. There was one philosopher a long time ago, I want to be careful, I don't want to offend anybody, but came out with, well, you see, they're the same kind of life as you would find among mosquito larvae and among bogs. Same kind of life. I don't think so. Because if I sit there and I get me some nasty pond water and I put it on my desk, those things will mature. Might be a frog. Now, I love frogs. One of my favorite animals growing up as a kid. Gideon loves frogs. We've got one that's replaced the other reptile. Well, it replaced the reptile I said we weren't going to have, and now there's a frog. We had a rule. He could catch as many frogs as he wants as long as he lets it go the next day. I fed it for like a week. We're hanging on to it, I guess. We're buying crickets for it now, whatever. But no, they'll become a frog. That frog will never drive a car. That frog will never hold a conversation. That frog will never write a book. That frog will never go to medical school. That frog will never become a mechanic. That frog will never be able to stock groceries or take things from here to there. He'll never become an expert at anything other than eating bugs. There'll be amoeba, paramecium, there'll be all manner of thing living in that pond water. But you give the same amount of time to a baby in the womb, it'll become a fully functioning human being. With a soul. With intelligence beyond what animals can possess. You cannot elevate human beings because, oh, how foolish we are. It is but God that gives us our value at creation, at our conception. You are a person, and I will give you a soul. And you will develop your heart and your spirit and who you are. You'll develop a personality. I love it when you can see what kind of personality you're going to get when a child is very young. You're sitting there, you're holding it, and all of a sudden it shows little quirks of its personality. You go ahead and you show me that in a panda bear. You go ahead and you show me that in a frog or a mosquito. Go ahead and try to show me that. Even in dogs, I love my dog. I love my dog better than I take to some folks. But even that dog is just trying to make sure I don't kill it and I keep feeding it. People sit there and say, oh, you know what? I said this and my dog looked really sad. Does that mean I heard it? And by the way, there are dog therapists out there. Not dog trainers, no, no. Dog psychologists and dog psychics. To fix the problem of my dog keeps giving me the sad look. Wonder why the dog's giving you the sad look? You know what they're trying to say? Come here, real close. They don't want me to tell you this. Don't kill me. That's what it is. What about the little dogs? They're like, yeah, 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 yeah. What are they trying to say? Do they have trauma? Was it a man? I tell you what, every dog that came into my training courses, everyone that was a rescue came from a very abusive situation. There was just a toxic living area down there because every dog was abandoned. It was rustled up by some man, and that's why it fought it. You know what the little dogs are really saying when they're, ah! You know what they're really saying? Again, they don't want me to tell you this. I'm doing this to make you think I'm bigger than what I am, so please don't kill me. Now, what if they give me that look over by the bowl? Feed me. That is not a depth of conversation. Now, you bring me over to your house and your dog is filing your taxes, I will repent. Love my dog. Love my dog. I still consider him a friend, even though he probably is only using me for my warm house. Or right now it's a cool house. Right? Only using me for my house. But I'll tell you what, I love that guy. But we cannot, we sit there and so often, well, we were talking about PETA. Oh, the horses, the horses, the horses. Well, we were thinking about having an abortion. Do you need a ride? Don't cut the horse's tail. Won't be able to get them bugs. But we're going to go pick it out there, these Christians who are protesting against the abortion clinic. Let's go ahead and elevate man some more. Let's hear some more of his ideas. Let's worship him. And oh yeah, by the way, when you worship the man and you elevate these men, they get to decide what rights you have. What rights you have? Well, no, everyone's getting sick. You can't go to church. Did you hear this? I can't believe it. Just in time for an election year, COVID's coming back. Why does this happen every time we go to vote? Isn't that driving you nuts? Here we are, we're just getting really sick every time we've got to go to the polls. It is just mind-boggling. Well, you got to vote from home. Why? Because it's really hard to fake them when you have to show up. It's really hard. I mean, you sit there, somebody in the community is going to see me pulling out 12 of these things. Just best I'm able to send that in through the big blue boxes. Right? What rights we have. What you're allowed to do. Now listen, I listen to the government. I believe that we cannot have freedom without a little bit of law. We got to have them both. It lives in balance. But when you sit there and say, well, we're all getting sick. You can't go to church. How dare you? You don't have that right. Right? Well, you don't have the right to come to our school. Because you don't believe this. There was a cancer patient who sat there and said something. I think it was one of the staff members was trying to get the cancer patient to say their preferred pronouns. And the person says, I don't believe in that. They got a letter in the mail saying that you are no longer allowed to come to our hospital for treatment. They get to decide what rights you have. You don't get to work here anymore. Why? Because this brand new concoction that we built up, this brand new fantasy that we have interjected, you don't believe it. We're playing a song you're not dancing to. You don't have the same rights anymore. And they get to decide what you deserve. And they sit there, and again, they think that they are the group of compassion, that they are the humanitarians. They are clowns. They are clowns. You cannot be a humanitarian when you sit there and you boast how many abortion clinics you've opened in minority communities. Go ahead and open one in Frankenmuth. Go ahead. See what happens. Ain't no one going to go to it. Why? Because we know what you're doing. I'm not saying that they would sit there and make the conscientious effort. It's just not going to be the need. They want that. Put it in the black and Hispanic communities and get rid of as many of them as physically possible. If you have struggle with that, go ahead and look up eugenics and what they're trying to do with that. They didn't stop eugenics. They got real quiet about eugenics. The Plan B pill. Let's make it more accessible. Right? The pumping women with hormones. the birth control. I'm not getting on birth control tonight. I don't have enough to be able to talk on birth control tonight. But I'm going to say this. The pumping of random hormones into women so we can continue to do the things that we do with them and they can go out to the clubs dressed however they want with their minds frazzled just a little bit. I'm telling you there's an issue. Again, not against birth control. Please do not come at me for that. But my point is this, that a lot of the stuff we tell women they have the right to do is more enslaving than anything else. Dress this way. Put this in your body so we don't have to pay child support. Live freely. But when they say freely, they mean free to us to use as we like. So we can throw you away and prevent certain of generations from being born. They call themselves humanitarians because of their charity. Most of their charities, if you pay close attention, the money don't go where they say it's going. It doesn't go. Even this, you ever go to Goodwill? You ever drop stuff off at Goodwill? Now, why do you drop stuff off at Goodwill? Because they sell it and they give it to the needy, right? Not Goodwill. They've got a few charities that they'll toss some stuff at, but it is a cash profit business. You're giving them stuff so that they can put it in their pocket and say, ooh, yeah. See, what they do is they'll hire anybody. That's their charity. They'll give out a car every now and then. They'll pay a bill every now and then. But for the most part, the money that they get goes into their pockets. Either the Susan G. Komen Foundation, they got into a good amount of trouble for a while there because we realized they were giving less than half of the money that they raised to actual foundations and things that needed it. What a joke. Christians are still the number one charitable group. Christians are still the number one in adoptions, the number one in foster care. And I don't care how many of those atheists get out there and say whatever they want about their foster care and their adoption process, we are still doing more than them. We've just got too much dignity to go on Facebook and say, look at what we're doing. We're just doing the work. Still the number one. You got no idea what charity is when you're a humanist. You've got no idea what love is. I get so mad at those signs. Love is love. Are you sure you're not talking about lust? Because there's a difference. There's a difference. See, if you've had 7 or 8 people that you've quote-unquote loved, it doesn't matter, same sex, different sex, it doesn't matter. If you had 7 different people that you've loved in the last year, and then that fizzles, that's not love. Love is what takes place the day after lust fails. It's called respect. It's called care. It's called investment. So, I just don't feel anything anymore. Well, that's good, because now you can actually start investing in love. Not that you can't do it back when it's lust, but that's when it starts. Things are difficult. Yeah. Develop the love. They've got no idea. That they even say this, well, you can't love me if you don't agree with everything I do. You don't know what love is then. Because I love a ton of people who I am diametrically opposed to. Well, Matt, I stopped calling you because you don't agree with my lifestyle, so therefore you don't love me. You've rejected me. I called you 15 times. I sent you your favorite snack. I've prayed for you every day. I think you're amazing. I love spending time with you. I completely disagree with what you're doing, but I love you as a person. So guess what? You're wrong. Go back to your professor and get your money back. Go back to that YouTube video person who told you that people like me can't love you and disagree with you. And I want you to get your donation to them back. I want you to get that back because they lied to you. They don't know what love is. They don't know how love works. Bible says I'm not only supposed to love my family, love my neighbor, but I'm supposed to love my enemies too. You go ahead and find that in the Communist Manifesto. Go ahead and find that in the Humanist Manifesto. Go ahead and find that in anything that somebody has written. If somebody's mean to you, you're allowed to hate them. Hatred is one of the most destructive things on earth. You don't know what you're talking about telling people to do that stuff. They think they know compassion, but they only show compassion to those that fit their narrative. I knew somebody one time, they did all of this work. They had this family tradition, loved this person to death. They got a bunch of bags, you know those little zip-tie drawstring bags you can get? They filled them with toilet paper and wipes and snack bars and water bottles and stuff that people living on the street would need. And every Christmas they go out and they drop those things off. And somebody from a company that they were friends with, this person said, listen, I will give you the money for the bags. I will supply the bags if you let me follow you with this camera so we can take video it for our Instagram. The person said, We're giving these gifts out to take care of people. Not to throw a camera in their face going, oh, look at this charity we are doing. We are so lovely. Oh, aren't we compassionate? We believe that your child is a cat. And we're willing to take your rights away as a parent so that we can endorse this. What's that? You don't want your child to go into these risky hormonal procedures? You don't want them to be in this position where we're taking organs out of them? You've lost your right as a parent. Oh, they would never do it. You pay close attention to what California is doing. They're doing it. It's being done while they're going, no. California, are you taking rights away from parents? No. But what about these five bills you just passed? Well, you know, you really have to have a degree to understand these things. No, you go in and you come out. I mean, I may not be a doctor, but there's a difference now. And then we go on down the road and we realize how butchered and awful these children's lives are. They don't know what humanitarianism is. And they don't know what humanism really is. See, what they purport is that it gives you special knowledge. What they purport is you become the solution to all of your problems, when in all actuality, all you're doing is building your life on man's principles. Sand that is very shifty at best. What they want is they want for themselves to have purpose, because if you're going to have rights, we should be the people. I mean, we taught you, we told you, we took you away from your religion, we told you everything you needed to know. So guess who you should follow? Us. I want you to consider for a second, is the common person really the God of the humanist? Who's the God of the humanist? Government. Infrastructure built by other humanists. YouTube, Facebook, social media, different organizations. That's what they'll teach. And I'll guarantee you they'll use what I like to call faulty syllogism. All right, let me show you what faulty syllogism is if you don't know. This is a snowball. This is a snowball. And if you don't think it's a snowball, you're a fool. If you don't think it's a snowball, you're a bad person. Clearly, we can all see it's soft, it's roundish, it's a snowball. That's what they do. By changing and attacking the definition of a thing, and you agreeing that you'll be more wise if you agree with them in that definition of a thing, despite the fact that there are glaring issues with the snowball theory. I mean, we'll buy into it. Hey, listen, let me tell me more. I want to know more about this. I could be smarter than my parents, smarter than my pastor, smarter than this, smarter than that. We ought not strive to be smarter than people, but to gain more knowledge. Calling something anything other than what it is faulty syllogism. And it's a very dangerous thing to use in an argument, right? There was a lady, bless her heart, trying to preach. And she tried to say that the Bible doesn't say that you're not allowed to use swear words. That when it says filthy communication, it simply means not to lie. Think about it. Saying that filthy communication only means lie, and we go, oh, that's faulty syllogism. Calling something something doesn't make it a thing. Now, can you think of a few instances of faulty syllogism that we see today? That's a boy. No, that's a girl. No, it's a boy, and you're a bad person for disagreeing with us. No, I'm going to have to go with the emperor's not wearing any clothes. I'm going to go with option C. And I'm also going to suggest that maybe we take you out back for a good examination. When they try to change what reality is and then sit there and craft a philosophy around it, and then we've all got to buy into it, that is a dangerous thing. And you'll find it on the television, you'll find it in the internet, you'll find it in the books that people are reading, you'll find it in the education system, you'll find it in the government. Listen to us when we tell you that that's not what you say it is, it's what we want it to be. And when we get you on that philosophy of your parents are wrong, what you think is wrong, but you're smart if you agree with us, you'll do whatever we say. It's a very dangerous way to live your life. They want purpose, and then with that purpose, they'll gain power. All right, now that you agree that religion is bad, and worshiping yourself and doing what your heart feels and always letting your conscience be your guide, now that you believe that, vote for us because we'll solve all the problems that they're doing. Keep us in power. Give us your dollar. Give us your retirement. Give us your everything, and we will save you from the rotten people that tell you like it is. It's for power. And as we compare and contrast these two, we must understand that there are failings. There are failings to these. Now, I've got quite a few. I meant to be done with this one tonight, but we'll finish it up next week, and we could go a good long while on this topic. But we've looked at God being God. We've looked at man being God. Next week, I want to look at what happens when you try to do both. When you bring the imperfect humanistic way of thinking into God's house, the mess it produces. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're in trouble. This world is going a bad way. We've lost the idea of what a human is. We've lost our dictionary. We've lost our minds. Father, as I said this morning, it is imperative for each and every last one of us to live and speak the truth because it is getting awfully muddy out there. But Father, we rely on you because you've seen these storms before. Father, you've been there since the Garden of Eden when we picked up this wrong idea. And Father, you'll be here on the day that the earth is burned away and it is gone. Lord, help us in the interim. Help us to reach out to our loved ones. Help us to live a God-based lifestyle, a lifestyle that's based on you. One that's agreeing to you, one that's learning from you, one that's, again, Lord, just makes more sense. Help us, Lord, not to be foolish. Bless us as we go our way. Help us to remain the light and the salt you've asked us to be. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.